Tail lights, red ants marching into the night. They disappear to the left and right again.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. All right. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Port O'Connor and let's check in with Captain Lynn Smith this morning. Good morning, Lynn. What's up?
Good morning, man. Boy, it's been a heck of a week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
It's been hot. Boy, it's been hot.
Fishing's been good. Hot weather. And, hey, what else do you want being a fishing guy? Calm seas.
I hear you. Well, they had three tournaments going on here yesterday.
My gosh.
Yeah. And I normally don't like fishing Saturdays, but I said, you know, the surf is flat, and I don't mind going to surf if it's I don't mind going fishing Saturdays if the surf is flat. So I said, what the heck? I said, well, I'll go out there and take three of my neighbors' friends. And so I said, well, we'll just go out there and enjoy the day. Anyway, we went out, but they were having a shark tournament and a John Boat tournament and a kid
John
tournament.
Boat.
Yeah, a John Boat tournament. They have this every year, and there's a limit of the length of the John Boats, and I mean, they're not but about 10-footers or so, 14-footers maybe at the most. Oh, man, let me tell you what.
Bottom.com.
Oh, man. I'm here to tell you, I told these neighbors of mine, I told them there's two women and a man. I said, I'll just pick y'all up at this boathouse right down the street. And I said, I'll go get the bait and everything, and I'll meet y'all there about 6 o'clock. And they said, great, we'll just walk down to the boathouse and meet you there. I said, okay. So I figured, no problem, you know. Well, about 6 o'clock or about 5:45, I said, I'll just run down here to the boathouse, pick them up. Well, I left the bait house, and I started idling down the intercoastal. I was afraid to kick my boat on top, afraid I'd run over one of those John boats. Man, they were John boats running in every direction. I'm telling you what, it was insane. I'm telling you, man. I said, oh, my God. Oh, they were running every direction. Oh, it was crazy.
The mosquito fleet was there.
Oh, man, it was. Oh, goodness gracious. I was never so glad to get inside that boathouse, I can tell you. Oh, boy. And then when we got back in, I ran into this one guy that he loves fishing for those sharks, and he usually wins that shark tournament, and I think he won it this time. Because I asked him, I said, well, how'd you do, man? He said, well, I think he said he had a 8 or 10 foot hammerhead, and he usually does pretty good. He catches some pretty big sharks. But one year they brought in a big tiger, and he asked the guy that he caught it. He said, "Hey, did that tiger have a leader, such and such length leader with a circle hook, certain size circle hook in the corner of his mouth?" And he went, the guy said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" So we took it out just before we came in. He pulled out his phone, showed him a picture of it. He said, "Because I released him this week. I caught him at the jetties and released him, hoping I'd catch him for this tournament." And that was a 13-foot tiger. And,
wow.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it on my phone. I'll send that picture to you. But
boy,
they caught that tiger, and the guys that caught it, and I think they were in about a 15 or 16-foot Boston whaler. And they just tied him along
as a boat.
Yeah, they just tied it alongside and drug him in. And
gosh,
but he was out there where we fish. I mean, we weighed, and well, he was at the hump. I saw him at the hump.
Boy, there are some giant fish swim around that hump, man.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Breathless.
Well, they come in through the pass and and or through the jetties, and they just make that circle. They go between the pass and the jetties.
Mm-mm.
And there's some big boys out there. I've seen some out there make your hair curl. I guarantee you. But there's some big boys out there. When we were out there on the hump, I know I've told you this before, but I was out there with about 20 other guys, and we're all wading, throwing mirror lures, catching some real nice trout. And one of them came up out of that deep of water, came up on the hump, and man, he was all of 10 feet or better. And he came up on that shallow water and came around all of us, and you could see his head going side to side, and bait was exploding, and he went around everybody, and then went right back in that deeper water. But he was a monster. But everybody just stood there and looked at each other like, oh my goodness, look at this. You know, they're not after you, but they're after those fish.
Man,
I've had some pretty good ones take my stringers in the past. I guarantee you that. I know you have too.
Oh yeah, it's it makes you think. What's the biggest shark to ever swim through these passes like that, out of the Gulf into the bay and then back out?
Oh,
just kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Oh my goodness, yeah.
The hammer. I was talking to him earlier, getting a report from him in the Tri-Bay area, and he had a big one come up next to his boat yesterday, about a 10-footer, while they were trout fishing behind the pass.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll wake you up.
Well, I remember, when I was a kid, we had a cabin cruiser. I don't remember how long it was, but I remember my dad and I and a friend of his, we had gone out to one of the rigs off Sabine Pass, and we were hooked up to that rig and fished all night. Well, came daylight, and my dad said, well, there's why the fish quit biting. And there was a hammerhead came around our boat that he was as big as the boat. He was a monster. And he was so big that he swam underneath the boat, and I just kind of stepped away from the gunwale. I didn't want to fall overboard. That shark was huge. And I don't know how big they get, but that was a monster hammerhead. And after I'd gotten out of school and everything, and I was working in Houston, my mother and dad sent me a sports page out of the Port Arthur News that a couple of guys were out there in the Gulf, and they were one of the rigs, and a big hammerhead was circling their boat. And one of the guys said, all right. He said, I'll get rid of him. Well, he dangled some fish in the water, and this big hammerhead came up there by the boat. Well, this guy took a paddle and hammered it, just hit him with that paddle. That hammerhead took off. He thought, they laughed, and they thought that was real smart. Well, that hammerhead came back and attacked the lower unit of the motor.
Oh, boy.
And they had a picture in the paper of that lower unit, all the scratch marks on that lower unit, where that hammerhead just attacked that motor. Yeah.
He made him Not mad.
Fun. Yeah, it did make him mad. Yes, sir.
My gosh. I had a listener text me a picture of a snapper they caught yesterday. I was talking to Jeff Naylor earlier, and he heard of a couple that would have been on the starboard. Well, this one right here. What a toad, 31.28 pounds, and not
Ooh,
in the
man.
Tournament.
Never fails. Never fails.
Yeah, 31.28, that's a toad. It's huge.
I ask people all the time, I ask them if I'm on a bunch of redfish, and I ask them if they're in the star, and they'll say, what's the star? And I go, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Man, we're catching redfish, and you need to be in the star tournament. I guarantee you. Now, I've never had a customer catch one that was tagged with a star tag.
Mm-hmm.
We've caught tagged reds that were, Texas partial wildlife tags. But anyway, you never know, you know, just never know. But, well, that'd make you sick to catch one and not be in the tournament.
Yeah,
I told you one guy from here caught one and wasn't in the tournament, and then a year later, or 2 years later, he caught another one and wasn't in it.
He didn't learn from that first one, did he?
No, he didn't. No, sure didn't. I guess he figured the odds were against him. He couldn't do it twice, but it happened.
Strange things happen when you're fishing.
Oh, I'm telling you. I've caught several tagged fish here in Port O'Connor, trout and reds.
Right.
And so you never know. You just never know.
No, you don't.
No. And several times I never even noticed the tag till I got home, got the fish on the cleaning board, and went, well, look at this. This fish is tagged, you know. Yeah. Never noticed it.
No.
But, you know, you're in a hurry. You know, you net the fish and don't even think about it till you get home. But it happened.
Yeah, I had one. We caught one year, and, you know, we were in the redfish. We're on a big school. Blaine and I had them rodeoed. He was on one side of them. I was on the other with our trolling motors. And we were just kind of squeezing them between us. And, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like piranha. It's every cast. And I just scoop them up in the net and flip them in the floor and then go to the next one, you know, after they wear them down. And I saw it flopping on the floor, and I said, oh, my God, who caught that? That's got a tag in it, and the wrong guy caught it. Everybody in the boat was in the star tournament but him.
Oh, man.
And everybody in Blaine's boat was in the star tournament. But out of that school of reds, he caught the one. You know, the guy catches it that wasn't in the tournament. That's crazy.
Oh, isn't that something?
I made him throw it back. I'll find this school tomorrow. I'll be back out here trying to get that fish again. But never did. Needle in the haystack.
Yeah. This friend of mine was going he was going to go out to the jetties one day with this one guy that his boat was in his shop, so he borrowed a boat, and it was a big Carolina skiff, a long one. And anyway, he said I've always wanted to fish with this guy. And he said, but they eased out the jetties, and so the guy said, how about manning that anchor up there? So he said, okay. So he got up front and he had the anchor. And so he said, they were easing up to the rocks. And he looked back and he said, well, tell me when to drop it. He said, I will. And kept getting closer and closer to the rocks. And he said, swells were coming in, you know, and they're getting closer and closer. And he looked back and said, well, tell me when to drop it. He said, I will. Just hang on. And he said they got closer and closer. And all of a sudden this one swell came up. And the front of that boat just came up, the old Carolina skiff came up, went bam, dropped on one of those rocks. He said, that's close enough, drop it.
Drop it.
And that was a barred boat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on, I'll be right back at you.
All right.
It's going to be hard to beat that one. All right. Well, folks, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of your supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to leave your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles, all their regulators and diffusers, and it makes life so much better this time of year, especially with this hot weather. And check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. They have that on display there for you, whether you're looking for the big 9-12 shrimp or the 15-18s. No farmed-raised at Boyd's. And if you need more info on that oxygen response, call Jason at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food there with good prices and quality seafood. 409-945-4001 or BoydsOneStop.com. And when you call the good folks at Boyd's, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
this killing time is killing me. Drinking my supply, thinking I won't see that if I cross that line, then they bury me.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we are back.
Well, boy, that water was sure pretty in the surf.
Was it?
Oh, man. You know, that just gets in your blood, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
It does get in your blood. But
yeah, surf water, I mean, it just something about the beachfront, you know, when it's right, and it doesn't get any prettier.
Yeah. It does. But I did one day, Tuesday, I did take a rogue wave over the bow, though.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
Yes, it does. I know how much water a 24-foot shallow sport holds.
It'll hold a bunch, won't it?
Yes, it will. Oh, gosh, yes. But I never will forget, I was... way back when I used to run a Pathfinder, and I was sitting in the back, and I was putting trout in the cooler, and a couple of my customers were standing back there talking, you know, while I was putting their fish in the cooler, and I looked up, and boy, I saw this big rogue wave coming, and of course I was anchored, you know, bow out, and I said, hold on, boy, and I mean that wave came and the bow, you know how the bow came up and then dropped down, and that bow just dove straight into that wave.
Pearled right through the wave, just like a surfboard.
Oh, it did. And that wave just engulfed the boat, you know. And, it filled up that Pathfinder, man. Oh, my goodness. And that's what happened here, too. Same deal. And, I mean, it filled up that boat. I had water over the rod holders.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it filled it up. And I had customers say, well,
grab
how are you going to get the water? And, well, how are you going to get the water out? I said, it'll drain. It'll drain.
It just takes a while to go out through them sculpers, man.
Yeah, it does. But
seems
it will
like
drain.
It's an eternity trying to get all that water out of there, man.
Oh, I know. I was surprised it drained as fast as it did. But what it did do, it did clean out my scuppers.
I bet yeah. It did.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of oak leaves in my scupper drains. Well, it cleaned them out. So that was good. But anyway. But, yeah, but other than that Gulf was sure pretty this week. It really was. And another thing that in that shark tournament, they also bring in big stingrays, and that old boy that had that big hammerhead, he also had a big stingray, and he said they had a stingray that was like a 6-footer
car hood,
and big old Gulf stingray. And you know, years ago I was waiting on the first bar. I think I was down by the Darlington, and I think I probably told you this story before, but I looked down and I saw an anchor rope, and I thought somebody had lost their anchor. And I said, oh, my, somebody's lost an anchor. I'm fixing to find me an anchor here, you know. And I was trying to focus, and you know how the waves are coming through, and you're trying to focus on something.
That was
and that
tail.
Wasn't an anchor rope. That was a tail
on
a stingray.
How about grabbing that?
Oh, my goodness. And I focused on that, and that stingray had to be over 6 feet across.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a monster, you know. And I poked him with my rod, and he didn't even move. He just laid there. I said, oh, my goodness, I think I'll walk around you, big boy, you know.
Yeah, a buddy of mine used to dive a lot, and they were out in the Gulf at the Flower Gardens diving. And he saw stingrays on the bottom. He said, I didn't know they got that big. He said they were just massive.
Yeah. Well, that one that hit old Jody Norris over at the Chandeliers this year.
That was a big boy.
Yeah, it was. Jody said it was one of those big, you know, stingrays you see in the surf. And
wonder how he's doing. I bet he's still recovering from that hit.
He is, but he's doing good. He's doing good. So
I like old Jody.
Yeah, he's a good old boy. He's a character.
We've had some good fishing trips together. A lot of fun times back in the day, man.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's one of the best topwater fishermen I've fished with. Yeah.
He's an animal.
He is, man. I don't think he fishes with anything but a topwater, you know.
Well, this ought to be his month, man. August is a good topwater month.
Yes, it is. I threw a topwater in the surf one day this week, but I didn't throw it very long. But I just threw it for a little bit. But I didn't have any luck on it. But I had some friends that did. They had some good luck on top. But, you know, it was an early bite. It was a pretty early bite this week. Mm-hmm. You had a pretty small window. And so it was pretty early.
Typical
there were a lot
surf,
of redfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of redfish in the surf, too, farther down.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah. And a buddy of mine ran down the surf pretty far down, and they got into some big herds of redfish, slot red. And he said there were some monster schools of reds. And big, law school was a good trout, too, big trout.
Oversized trout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you think we'd ever be saying that? We're catching oversized trout.
No. Yeah. That's amazing. Some of the guys, some of these jetty fishermen, that's the problem they've been having is catching slot trout.
Yeah.
You know, they have to release some of these trout. They're too big.
Well, that's the plan.
That's the plan.
They want that brood stock to get reproduction up, you know, krill surveys up and through the roof, and then they can turn loose again.
That's right.
Or turn Mother Nature loose again, let her kill all of them.
That's right.
It's a catch-22. I just got a text from a listener. What's your favorite lures in the surf?
Oh, my favorite is topwater. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, if you get out of the boat, what's your little, you know, box with your arsenal in it? What do you take with you?
Well, I throw topwater number one, but
and
a good old silver blueback super spook is my favorite topwater.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to go wrong with blue and chrome, man.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I mean,
especially when the sun's out and the water's clear. Oh, boy, they
yes,
quack.
Sir.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, you'll come back, there won't be much chrome left on it.
No, you know. Knock all the chrome off, then you got you a nice bone.
That's right. Oh, man. Yeah, that and a she-dog, same color. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have a hard time turning that down. But, those two baits, real good. And, of course, mirror lure. I forget, 51MR. Is hard to beat in the surf. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like bait. And
like what colors you like in that 51?
I like with chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
The chartreuse back and gold sides. That's one of my favorite. Kind of a white belly, gold sides, chartreuse back. That's a pretty good color.
Yep. I like a SHP, you know, hot pink, silver side hot pink.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Pink is hard to beat.
The old 28, you know, that red and yellow killer fella, red
oh,
back,
yeah.
Yellow belly, gold sides. That's a good
one. Oh, yeah.
And
yes, sir.
There's just so many colors and. It just depends on the water and whether it's cloudy or, you know, clear, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, a Corky. Corky's had hard to beat
well,
the surf,
yeah,
too.
Or, you know, a Miradine or a Softdene.
Yeah. But I like to throw that regular Corky. If the sun's up, I like to throw that hologram Corky, that clear with silver metal flake and the chartreuse tail. That's my favorite. But the only problem is they tear it up, you know. They rip that thing to pieces.
Yeah.
They will beat it up. And the Durham Skipjacks will hit it too, you know. And it doesn't take but a couple of them to tear it up. Jumping and shaking it. Oh, my goodness. That's why I like to go to the Miraler hard plastic.
You know, I'm sure spoons still work good in the surf. I don't know many people who throw them anymore, but, man, we used to catch some beautiful fish on silver. You know, early, with not a lot of light, we'd throw that silver Johnson Sprite with a white bucktail, and then we'd switch over to the gold with a red bucktail later, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I never threw the white bucktail. My dad was a big fanatic on throwing the yellow bucktail.
Right. Yellow was always a good color combo, too.
Mm-hmm. He always threw the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And
yellow and gold's what my dad liked. He liked a gold Sprite with a yellow bucktail.
That's right, yeah. So that's what I grew up throwing. And I cut my teeth on one of those.
Mm.
Johnson Sprite with a yellow bucktail.
Yep.
Caught a many a trout and a, trout and Spanish mackerel. Boy, we've caught tons of those on that. Caught a lot of Spanish mackerel on those. Which is not my favorite thing to have to eat is Spanish mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like eating those.
I'm not a fan of them. I mean, I've eaten them. They're all right, but
yeah,
not as good as a surf trout. It's hard to eat a good salty surf trout.
No. Uh-uh.
With no parasites.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
That's what those corpus fish remind me of, you know, the flavor of them, you know, from down there in Baffin and the land cut. They taste like them surf runners.
Yeah.
They have a different texture to the meat, you know, and it's just, you know, that real white fluffy meat with that little pink hue to it.
Man.
That's hard to beat, man, when you fillet those up and hit that hot grease with them.
You can't beat
that hardly. Good.
Well, one of the girls on the boat yesterday, she caught a 19-inch trout, and I grabbed it and unhooked it, and I was fixing to throw it in the cooler, and I said, look at those two teeth in front right there. I said, that's what they grabbed their bait with. And she went, oh, my goodness. I mean, she said, I didn't realize they had teeth like that. I said,
That's canines. They stab it from the top, and in their bottom teeth, they got that row that folds backwards. It holds that bait and let it wiggle loose.
That's right.
Predator mouth.
That's right. And I said, certain time of the year, they get soft mouth. You know, they'll shed those teeth. And I said, they get real soft mouth. And I said, that happens. But I said, they've got those teeth on them. You don't lift them.
They get that soft mouth, and when they're eating, you know, like mullet and, you know, hard bait fish like that, it pulls them out.
Yeah, it does.
They regrow them pretty quick, not as fast as a rattlesnake does his fangs, but
no,
rattlesnake has an extra set that just fold on down.
That's right.
If they break their primary ones off.
Yeah, they break their fangs.
Never safe around a rattlesnake, man.
No. Uh-uh. Nope, not hardly. Yep. And, you know, surprisingly, after all that rain we had down here, I did not see one. I did not see a snake.
Huh.
And I thought I was going to see them.
Yeah, you'd think you'd get them moving, you know?
Yeah, and I did not see one.
Maybe they were enjoying it, too. It's been so long since we've had a lot of rain like that.
Man, I'm telling you. Now, Monday, I did see three alligators Monday.
Oh, boy.
In the intercoastal. One of them was about a 10-footer, He was a good one. They were out moving, but they've got quite a few alligators this year. Almost every day that I went out, I saw alligators.
Huh.
Seen a lot of them. Yep.
Well, they're hungry. You see them out during the day moving around, they're looking for something to eat.
Yep, you would think so.
And hope it's not you.
Yeah.
Well, there used to be some big gators over there in the Espiritu Santo Bay over on that south side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a laugh one year. They posted something on Facebook. Somebody posted. And there was a guy wading out in front of the army hole. And there's a couple of really good gators over in that army hole. They posted some guy wading, wade fishing in front of the army hole. And then the guy filmed it, pans behind the guy, and there's about an 8-foot gator following him, just swimming right behind him.
Yep. Puppy dog. The guy, waiting for
the guy. Yeah, exactly. I guess that's what he's doing. Yeah, I didn't even know it. I went in the army hole one time. I had four guys on the boat, and one of them wanted to wade, and three guys didn't want to wade fish. So when I went in the army hole, this one guy said, I want to wade. Said, let me off on that south shoreline. So I went over there and I dropped him off, and then I idled back over to that north shoreline and had bait for these other three guys. And so I anchored up, and these guys are fishing for reds. And I told him, I said, I didn't tell that one guy. I said, there's a big gator that has a slide back over on that far side by that fence. And I said, y'all keep an eye on him. So they were watching him, and that guy was wading along, and he's casting, you know, and he kept walking along that shoreline, and he was casting. All of a sudden, man, he came to a real quick stop. And, boy, he looked, and he turned around, boy, and he started hot-footing it back down that shoreline. And he started hollering at us to come get him. And And he said, well, he saw that gator. And so anyway, we idled back over to pick him up. And he said, man, there's about a 10-foot alligator over there. I said, yeah, I forgot to tell you about him. He lives here. He said, oh, my God. He was laying out over there. I said, yeah, I've got to tell you about
him. Or something?
Yeah. Got to tell you about him.
Dump me off in here. All right, let me do this break, Lynn. I'll be right back, man. All right. Well, you know, folks, the Belleville Meat Market, if you've never been there, you owe it yourself. Stop by and check it out. It's a great place to shop for grade A, B cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. They're easy to find. They're right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign, their meat market and processing facility. They're right next door to one another. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing available on their fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausages. And homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs are available for all your summer cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf processed, they have that available for pre-order also. And wild game processing, they're open all summer for all your remaining needs, including exotics. And, you know, if you're not sure they'll process it, just give old Brandon a call. He'll get you hooked up. And the Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
My Maria, don't you know I've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she takes my blues away. The sunlight surely hurts my...
Good morning. Welcome back. All right. It is 5:41 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Lynn, we're back.
All righty. I'm afraid I'm going to have to break down and buy me a new power pole or something. I had a Talon on my boat, and I love that Talon. And, you know, that rod goes straight down. And I love that. In fact, it telescopes down like 15 feet. And man, I like that. But I broke it. What happens is I was along the ship channel here going up toward Port Lavaca, and I was on some orchard reefs. And a tanker came by, and I knew better. I should have raised it, but that tanker was moving pretty fast. And man, he's throwing a wake, and it raised up, came down, and broke it. But anyway, I got in the shop, but I'm afraid I'm afraid it may be history.
Oh, man, that bites.
Man, I know it. I may have to break down and get a new one. It's about time. But, you know, part of being a fishing guy, you gotta buy new equipment, you know. Gotta bite the bullet.
Hey, the more you run, the more stuff you tear up.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact, Jack. Oh, but we were sitting in the bait house yesterday morning. And speaking of that, talking to this one buddy of mine, said his neighbor was, we were talking about the size of engines nowadays. And he said, yeah, his neighbor has a boat on order, and he has to put a down payment on it. I said, really? He said, yeah, they want a $100,000 down payment. I said, say what?
What is he buying?
He's buying a boat with a 500 horse motor on it. 500 horse. I said, oh my God. I mean, how big are these engines going to get? You know?
I don't know, man. Go big or go home, huh?
Yeah. Well, I saw one of those engines the other day on a boat here in town. 500 horse Mercury, I think it was. I went, oh my goodness. And then another boat came by me. It had four hundreds on it, offshore boat.
Oh, yeah.
Four hundreds.
Stack them and whack them, man.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Good grief.
I mean, those engines, I'm sure, are running, what, 35, 40 grand a piece?
Oh, easy. Easy. And, this one buddy
said that. Think you would live to see this, you know?
No.
Me either.
As buddy of mine said, that 500 horse motor is right at 100 grand.
Really?
It's right at that. 99 something. 99,000 some hundred something thousand.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, how can they sell them that cheap, you know? God almighty. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine four of those on the back of a boat? I mean, almost $500,000. I mean, come on, $400,000 worth. That's crazy.
It's out of my realm. I mean,
yeah. That's crazy. I just wonder what warranty they have on them.
Boy, for that price, it ought to be lifetime.
It should be, but you know it won't be. No. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-mm-mm.
500 horsepower. You know, I saw a boat coming down the surf yesterday, and he was throwing a rooster tail. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I mean, the surf was pretty flat, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you could run 4,000 easy, no problem. And, man, he was smoking. He was smoking coming down that surf. I thought, you guys are kidding. You think he was showing off a little bit?
That's what it's all about, man. Looking good.
Sure.
Look
good
at me.
Great.
I see where Pontiac's going to come back. I mean, it's just getting this way with vehicles, you know. Just what's the price limit these days? And Pontiac's going to come back with a 2025 GTO.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I went to the Dollar General here in town the other day, and there was a Porsche sitting in front, convertible, 911 convertible. I had to walk over and look at it. I had to. It was electric.
An electric?
Yep. I swear it was electric. I looked at it. It only had a speedometer. It didn't have a tach. And I looked at that thing, and I went, oh, this has got to be electric. I guess it is.
I guess. I'm just so old school, man. I'm I'm a combustion man.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It was hard giving up two strokes and going to four strokes because I loved them old two-stroke engines, man. Old two-stroke smoke and that good smell and that raspy sound. I loved it.
Boy, it's unreal when you hear a two-stroke at the ramp nowadays, you know.
I know it. And all that smoke.
Rattling.
Rattling and smoking.
Oh, yeah. Good grief.
I used to love winding them up like a rubber band. You said, sounds like you need to put a flak jacket on in case it comes apart on you when you're running.
Yeah.
Good days. Probably the best sounding engine I ever ran, you know, in the two strokes. I loved that, the old, that 225 EFI Mercury they had. Golly, that thing was what a beast for, you know, what it was. I mean, man. For back then, what an engine that was.
Man. You
get it. And it sounded like it had a, you know, high-performance cam in it when it was sitting there idling at the dock. It sounded raspy. Kind of reminded me of my old GTO back in the days. Yeah, they're coming out with a 2025, which there's no way I could afford something like that these days, but I sure wish I had my old 66 back that I drove in high school. Those were the days.
I had a GTO way back there.
Did you? I loved mine. Should have never sold it.
Boy,
God,
I tell you.
Me into it, and the money was so good, I took it, and I wish I'd have never done that. I'd still have it. But I was young and stupid and needed the money, man.
Like me, I had an MGA 1600 series.
Right.
And, with wire wheels. It was red with silver wire wheels, man.
Right.
And I took it to Kilgore Junior College. Boy, I was a hit.
Yeah,
I was
buddy.
In every parade. Every parade with Rangerettes, Kilgore Rangerettes.
Kilgore Rangerettes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a hit. Oh, man. Back then, I'll tell you how long ago that was. Back then, they only had one men's dorm and one girl's dorm.
Yeah.
That was it. Oh,
yeah,
I tell
times
you.
Have changed on that, too.
I bet they have. Man, oh, man. Yep, those were the days.
Just leave me alone and let me go fishing.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, like I told you, you know, when I went to work up in Denver, and boy, one of the guys in the office, he said, how you like being up here in Colorado. I said, you know, this is a pretty state, man. This is a beautiful place. But you know what? If the Gulf of Mexico backed up these mountains, it'd be the perfect place.
Boy, that'd be the prime place to live, wouldn't it?
It would. It really would. Because I enjoyed working up there, but, man, I sure missed that salt water when I was up there. I couldn't get back here.
Once you become a coast rat, you can't leave it.
That's true. That's true.
It gets in your blood. It's in your DNA, man. You just can't.
That's
can't
all
get away
there.
From it.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah, buddy.
You know, it's good to get away and go look at other things. There's so many places in our own country that, you know, I'd like to see before I die. That, you know, just the beauty of America, but. Once you go on vacation, you're longing to come back and get back to, you know, normal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I took a job out in San Diego, and so I went out there for a year. And,
that's a good climate.
I went in a bait shop in San Diego, and I was looking at a bulletin board. They had all kinds of fishing pictures and everything up there, and I'm standing there looking at these pictures, and this guy that had the bait shop walked up there and said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Well, I'm just kind of looking at some of the fish and everything y'all catch out here, just checking it out." And he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm from South Texas, and I fish the Gulf Coast." And he said, "Oh, well, you're not going to like it out here."
Well, he's honest about it, huh?
That's right. You know what they caught mostly out there? And it was a big deal. I mean, they even wrote it up in the paper and, you know, was bonita. And they were big about catching bonita.
Man, that's alligator bait.
It is. I said, we use bonita for chum, you know, we use it for chum. And teasers, you know, we'd use them for teasers behind the boat. But they even eat them out there. They had recipes.
Oh, that's bonita. A bloody fish.
It is.
Looks like liver when you fillet the chum with it.
Yeah. Oh, they had recipes for bonita in the paper.
Well, it is California, Lynn.
Well, that's true.
I'll just leave it at that. It is California.
Yeah. They probably eat skipjacks out there.
Well, I've seen some guys fillet skipjacks before. I'm not naming any names. Well, I'm not affiliated with them. I don't run with them. But I've seen them do it for their parties before. It's a cleaning table. I'm going, seriously?
Oh,
I know they're good redfish bait. Redfish love them, you know.
Oh, yeah, and bait. Snapper. It's good snapper bait. Yeah. You bet. Good and oily. Yeah, I walked up the clean table one day, and there was a young man standing there with three skipjacks. He was fixing to fillet them. And I walked up and threw a bunch of trout up on the table, and my customer walked around the other side of the clean table, and he stopped, and he looked over at that guy, had those three skipjacks, and he looked at me, and I was just smiling. And he looked back at those skipjacks, and he was just, his mouth was open like, oh, my God. And that guy was looking at those trout, and he looked back at his skipjacks. He just kind of slid them over in the water, turned around and walked off.
Oh, that was funny.
That was funny.
Poor man tarpon.
Yeah. That's it.
Poor man tarpon. Well, y'all get some big ones down that way, too, man. I mean, I call them horse mackerel. Man, they got them big horse eyes on them.
We get some Boone and Crockett skipjacks down here.
Y'all do. And, I mean, they're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You hook one on the topwater, you better leave him out there and let him rip loose or wear down or whatever. Don't bring him in hot. You'll be wearing that topwater with him on it.
There's nothing scarier than that, you know. Nothing
scarier
than
that. Worst I ever been hooked was right in the chest by one like that. And a Spanish mackerel. Goodness. You know, Spanish mackerel are like schizophrenic, you know, when you get them up to you like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's nothing scarier than that.
No.
Nothing scarier than
hanging off of.
Yeah. A big skipjack with a super spook in his mouth coming at you jumping.
Stay
That's
away.
A nightmare.
Pull off. Please get off.
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, Lynn, good talking to you today. You have a good Sunday. And if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them a number, man.
You betcha, man. They can get me at 361-935-6833.
Yeah, I think you ought to get you a new power pole and a new 500-horse motor.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Get with a program,
maybe
man.
Santa Claus would bring
That's right.
Up.
Get with a program, brother. All right.
Oh,
Lynn, it's always a pleasure. See you, man. You have a good day.
All right, you too, Mickey. You have a great
All right.
Day.
See you, bud. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break and national anthem and all that. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.